This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. New Sligo Rovers midfielder Seb Quirk on how he might help Rovers climb the League of Ireland table in the second half of the season. Neurodiverse FC is a football club with a difference, and it's coming to Sligo next month. Soccer sessions tailored for children with additional needs. The club's founder will tell us more. And tomorrow is most primary schools' favourite day of the year. It's a half day for the summer holidays, and on the eve of Culfather National School's final day of term, we've been to the school sports day to have a special chat with one of their sports mad pupils. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan, and here are the contact details if you'd like to get in touch. 083 3500 530 by WhatsApp and text. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address, and you'll get us on X or Twitter. The handle is @OceanFMSport. Also coming up, Leitrim is getting ready to host Connacht LGFA's Gaelic for Mothers and Others Festival of Football this Saturday. Clubs from right across Connacht taking part. We will talk to the host club, Ballinamore Seán O'Heslin's, about it. Well, he won't be able to play for Sligo Rovers for a couple of games yet because the transfer window doesn't officially open until July the 1st. But new midfield signing Seb Quirk is already training at the showgrounds since Monday. He has joined Rovers from English League Two side Accrington Stanley on an 18-month contract. And speaking to Ocean FM Sport earlier today, the 23-year-old said it didn't take him long to make up his mind.
The manager spoke with my agent and stuff, and we got a Zoom call, and I spoke to him for about 40 minutes, to be fair. It was a good chat, and I really liked what I heard, to be fair, yeah.
Were you looking for a change?
Yeah, to be fair, I needed a bit of something new, to be honest. You know, I've had a couple of tough years and stuff, but I'm excited for a fresh start, yeah.
When you say tough years, is that the lack of regular first-team football, or is it injuries, or what is your background?
A bit of both, to be fair. I've been in and out the teams and stuff, and then when I do get a run, I've had an injury that set me back a bit. But yeah, it's been a bit tough, but I'm excited to start here, yeah.
That accent, we don't need to work out where you come from. It's a Scouser accent, and you're the blue half of Merseyside, let's be clear.
Yeah. Couldn't be red over there, no way, no.
Would you have had much dealings in your academy time with Everton, with Seamus Coleman?
A little bit. My last year at Everton, I was up at the first team a little bit and training with them and stuff, and he's a top fella. He used to always come over and make me feel welcome and a part of it, so yeah.
Well, I'm sure you're aware there's a connection with him here to this day, and there is a partnership between Sligo Rovers and Everton, so you're not walking into completely foreign territory here.
No, I know. To be fair, I've always kept an eye on them ever since I knew Seamus played for Sligo, being a big idol of mine, so yeah, I've always looked out for them, really.
When you were making your mind up about coming to Sligo Rovers, did you look at the league table and say, uh-oh, what am I doing here?
Yeah, you're going to, but when I spoke to the gaffer and stuff, and it's an exciting project, so hopefully, now that I've come, hopefully we can start changing results and start getting up the table a bit.
What should we know about you as a footballer? You're ostensibly a midfielder, but that's not the only string to your bow.
No, to be fair, I've always played a few positions, really. I think my favourite's a centre mid, yeah, but the last couple of years I've played left-back and right-back quite a bit, so yeah.
Has the manager given you any firm indication yet where he sees you being part of this team?
No, not really, to be fair, because I'm not allowed to play until July, so at the minute I'm just training, just getting...
You're a tourist.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
But you can train with the team and you're getting to know your new teammates.
Yeah, so I come on Monday and it's good, to be fair. The tempo's good and training's been good, so yeah, I'm loving it so far.
And I know you're just getting used to the new lifestyle here, because Sligo's going to be a bit different than Liverpool. But are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I am, to be fair. I've always liked an outdoorsy type place, sort of, really. I used to go on holidays to the Lake District in England with my mum and dad and stuff. So it won't be too dissimilar to that, really. And I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
That's Sligo Rovers' new midfielder, Seb Quirk, who's here for an 18-month contract and he's eligible to play for Rovers when the transfer window officially opens on the 1st of July. Rovers away to Drogheda this Friday night in the SSE Electricity League Premier Division. It's a game you'll hear live here on Ocean FM Sport, courtesy of Henry's Bar and Restaurant Castlegarn from 7:45. And we're also live on Monday night with Sligo Rovers home fixture against Johnny Caulfield's Galway United. Rovers against Galway this Monday night at the Showgrounds. That will be live here as well. Meanwhile, Sligo GAA are putting a committee in place to find the next Sligo Gaelic football senior manager. Tony McEntee's five-season tenure came to an end last weekend after the team's Talton Cup exit against Fermanagh. Here's what the outgoing Sligo boss told reporters after the match.
My time as Sligo manager has come to an end. We've had 5 years now at this stage in there, and Joe, my trainer, has 7 years in there, so I think it's time for a bit of freshness within the camp there at the minute. So it's been a wonderful 5 years, to be fair.
And did you enjoy your spell over the 5 years? There was some good days, some bad days.
my memory tends to be I prefer to have a short-term memory for most of this sort of stuff. So all the bad stuff is sadly lost. Like, you know, I think the darkest days was probably around Red Oak Murphy's passing. That, you know, but every other day I have to say is a good day, and I look at it very fondly. We've had great times through, you know, winter camps, through league football, through progression of players. We've seen an awful lot of players go through this change room. I don't know how many, but surely there must be at least, in those 5 years, there had to be at least 75 or 80 players have come through that change room that we've looked at and played actually at different stages throughout those 5 years. And so I've seen a lot of Sligo football. I've seen a lot of those players. I've grown with a lot of those players. There's a chap at home who no longer plays football. He used to say, "I love the bones of you," and that's so be the case here with these players. Like, you know, and I love the bones of them, and I think they get on well with us. But, you know, there is a chef life with everybody, and now that chef life is here.
There's one memory that would stand out for me is that meeting with myself and Lee Maloney in Dungarvan in Waterford, and you couldn't believe this was a match going on the pitch. That was one of the standout over the tenure of 5 years.
Yeah, but that looks like a field that was fed boards all his life, and the board poops is all over the field. It was shocking, but yeah. Yeah, that and many fond memories.
Was it emotional for you? Because I get the sense you're very, very close-knit bond. I was talking to Luke Towie there, and he paid the management a wonderful tribute. He mentioned each and every one of you, that you were very close.
We were very close, but I think when I am talking to you here, I don't want to forget about the people that's not here today. You know, we have Aaron Cairn and Kevin McLaughlin and Collie McGee and, you know, the Bardock coach team and the Sean and medical team in S&C and training and all the rest of them people. But there was also, before this, there was Paul Dorkin and Noel Maguire and Mark Brehney, and there was Elaine Kenny as well as medics, and now we have Stephen Gilmartin in here. There's been a lot of people has come through here in the last 5 years and helped and supported this, so, and I would like to remember all those people, because I am very fond of them all and had good times with them all, and I can say honestly that I'm leaving here not having fallen out with players, management, panels, county board, etc. Like, you know, and when I am on that county board, is that you know, in my time in 5 years, there's been three chairmen. It was Brendan, who was only there a short while as I came in, he was leaving actually, and Sean Carroll, and now Declan Rouse. And Declan has a role as liaison officer for that team. And, you know, the county board was, first of all, is the chairman, then we have the secretaries, and there's a couple of secretaries there, and there's Park here beside me as the PRO, who was there the entire time that I remember. So, like, we have had wonderful support from the county board. We've wonderful support from the executive of the county board, you know. And it's not just me and the management team, but it's also the players, you know. And I think Sligo is very fortunate that that is the case here, because many counties don't have that support. Many managers don't have that support, you know. And I think the players are very appreciative of it, and I certainly am.
And just a word, Tony, on the future for Sligo football. It's going to be a new era, as you said, new voice. Where do you see this team and the future of Sligo football? You've seen them doing well at under 20 level. You're big into underage football at home and across the Glen. What do you see? Where do you see the future?
Gavin, there was a time 6 years ago that Sligo was after finishing the season having not won a game, a competitive game of any type, and that was in Division 4, you know. And now we're at a place where we're looking to compete and win Tartan Cups, so, you know, compete and do better and potentially win in a Connacht final. So, you know, the rise in that through schools, through clubs, with Killera in particular, doing well in Ulster, and the schools obviously doing well, minors and under-21s that haven't had success. The future can only be bright here. So it's incumbent upon Declan now, obviously, as chairman, to get somebody in place to try and help steer that further. But I think this team's only beginning to move and beginning to grow. You know, they're beginning to learn, and the new rules suit them an awful lot. And I think there's plenty of growth in that team. They're young, they're mature, they're coming in the 25 is their average age for the team. Very few older players there, like, you know, so there's a long, bright future ahead of these players here, you know, and I think actually for Sligo football too. And so I suppose on that point, it's only now, I think, that the people of Sligo are beginning to support it better. You know, we're getting better crowds at it, we're getting better advertisements through it. You know, there's a bit more feeling about the football in it, you know. And I think as that continues to grow and as this team continues to develop, then you're going to get more and more support. And that'll only help grow the grassroots of the GAA within Sligo.
Outgoing Sligo senior football manager Tony McEntee speaking to Gavin Cawley and Jerry McLaughlin in Brewster Park in Enniskillen last Saturday. Tony McEntee, in his 5 years in charge, had 62 matches in charge of Sligo. He won 33 of them. There were 4 draws, 25 losses. And he is Sligo's longest serving manager. Kevin Walsh was also in charge of Sligo for 5 years, but McEntee presided over a greater number of games during his 5 year tenure, which included a Connacht final appearance and a Division 4 Allianz Football League title win at Croke Park. Sligo GAA hopes to have his successor in place in time for the start of the 2025 Adult Club Football Championships, which are scheduled to begin in early August. When we come back after the break, we're going to hear from the Sligo Rovers Academy coach, who's bringing a new bespoke coaching clinic to Sligo Town and to Killybegs next month for children with additional needs. Plus, school's out tomorrow for the majority of primary schools locally. We'll visit one national school near Ballymote to hear about their sports day and to have a chat with one of their sports mad pupils. That's next.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Well, for the majority of national schools across the region, Friday is their favourite day of the year, the last day of school before the summer holidays, although a few national schools will continue on until Wednesday. But on the eve of the summer break, we paid a visit this week to a primary school in Sligo, Culfatha National School, where Tuesday was sports day at the school, and we got to chat with some of the sixth cast pupils who are about to move on to pastures new. And among them, Connor Hannan, who has a big, big interest in sport, from Gaelic football to soccer to handball and lots more besides. He's into his sport. We'll hear from him in a few moments. But first, we spoke to some of Connor's classmates in sixth class at Culfatha National School about their sports day.
We've done like races, like the like three-legged race and like the sack race and like the spud race.
Three-legged race, sack racing.
And like the spud race where you're like a leg spin race.
Right. And does it get very competitive?
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah.
Really? So you make up little twos and threes and teams, is that right? Mm-hmm. Right. So any other sports? What other sports are you playing today?
We did like X and O's and some cup thing where I have to put it into buckets.
Explain to me, X's and O's like the thing you do in the game you play on a page. How do you do that outside?
We have like a big game board and like you have all the little X's and O's thing and you put them into like the big board and whoever like gets four wins.
Okay. So there's an outdoor version of that game. Right, right. What about ball sports? Do you play any ball sports?
Yeah, we done an Oxford course and there was a ball there to throw into a bin. Right. And then we done a bit of basketball shooting into the hoop. That's all really bought up.
And because you're sixth class, are you in charge of the sports day or who organises the sports day?
It's like all the teachers just organise the sports day.
Right. And does it get very competitive?
A small bit.
A small bit, okay. Yeah. But nobody falls out really, do they?
No, not really.
Right, who's in the basketball final today? Oh, because you're all in the basketball final. You're in the final. And who, do you have a name for your team?
Yeah.
What do you call yourselves?
Ionic Grenade.
Ionic?
Ariana Grenade.
I am a grenade.
Ariana Grenade.
Ariana Grenade. Right. Who came up with that name?
Ariana Grande was in an interview a few years ago. Yeah, okay. Somebody accidentally called her Ariana Grenade, so I just thought of that on the spot.
Very good. And what's the name of the other team? Who's on the other team? Right.
Monkeys.
Monkey?
Yeah, monkeys.
Monkeys. Oh, here, the monkeys.
Yeah.
So who's on the monkeys? So you're the monkeys. Monkeys. You're on the monkeys. Yeah. What's your name?
Connor.
Connor. And what are the monkeys good, Connor?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. We drew one game.
Right.
One three.
112
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So is basketball your favourite game?
Nah.
Is it not? What's your favourite game?
Gaelic.
Gaelic?
Yeah.
Gaelic football?
Yeah.
So your team would be Ballymote?
Yeah.
Right, so you'd watch people like Jack Lavin?
Yeah.
Is he any good, Jack Lavin?
He hasn't been on much, so yeah.
Well, he's busy, isn't he? Because he plays, what other team does he play for apart from Ballymote?
County.
A county team, Sligo team. And he was playing last Saturday, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Right. Did you listen to that game or watch that game last Saturday?
No.
What was the score? What was the result? Who won it? Do you remember who won it?
Fermanagh.
What happened to Sligo? Maybe you'll have to play for Sligo the next day, but might you, Connor?
Yeah.
Would you like to play for Sligo one day?
Yeah.
And what do you like about Gaelic football?
It's a quicker game than soccer. It's more scores. Yeah.
But you like soccer too because you're wearing an Ireland top.
Yeah.
Like the Republic of Ireland soccer team. Yeah. So you must like soccer too, do you?
Yeah.
Right. What are your teams in soccer? What teams do you support in soccer?
Celtic. Man United.
Man United. And one of your classmates is wearing a Man United jersey. Man United need to find some new players, do they?
Yeah.
Are you going to find some new players?
I don't know.
You have a new one, do you?
Yeah.
Who have you got?
Matthias Cunha.
Oh, very good. You're up to date. You're very up to date. Well, maybe they're going to start getting good again this year, are they?
Yeah.
So you like Gaelic, you like soccer, you like basketball. Any other sports?
I like rugby a bit.
A bit, do you? Yeah. Have you ever gone to an Ireland match?
In soccer, yes.
Were you at the Aviva Stadium?
Yes.
Wow. What was that like?
It was Ireland versus France. It was a great crowd.
Against France?
Yeah.
Oh, you saw the game against France. Do you speak French?
A bit.
A bit, do you?
Well, not much.
Give me one word in French.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, very good. Very good. Oh, you have French. And what other sports then?
I say that's all, yeah.
I'm thinking of the famous Ballymote sports people. Jack Lavin is one, plays for Sligo and Ballymote. And there's a very good handballer in Ballymote, isn't there? Do you know a good handballer in Ballymote?
Cormac Finn.
And what can you tell me about Cormac Finn?
He's a handballer.
Right. And has he won anything recently?
I think he won the under-20s All-Ireland handball.
That's right. He's an All-Ireland champion, isn't he? And did you go to see him play?
Yeah.
Where did you go to see him play?
Dublin.
In Dublin?
Yeah.
In Croke Park?
No, it's like Croke Park.
It's inside. It's indoors, isn't it?
Yeah, it's indoors, yeah.
Yeah. And is handball fast?
It's quicker than Gaelic and soccer. It's a quicker hit. Right. Yeah. Right. You need gloves for it.
Yeah. You need gloves for it, yeah, come on. Well, I think Cormac is a pretty special talent, isn't he?
Yeah.
I hear you're good at delivering fruit as well, do you, to the school? Are you the fruit delivery man in this school?
Not anymore.
Not anymore?
Yeah.
You're retired?
Yes.
And what would you do with the fruit when it came to the school? What was your job?
Before that, I delivered milk. Yeah.
Right, good man. Yeah. And fruit.
Yeah.
So you're multi-talented?
Yeah.
Right. So will you miss Colfada National School now when you finish?
Yeah, I will miss it a bit, but it's time to move on, so...
Time to move on. Well, you're getting big and tall.
Yeah.
And I hear you're playing Gaelic football too, are you?
Yeah.
For Ballymote?
Yeah.
Under?
15s.
Under 15. And what's your position? Where would you play? Are you a goalkeeper?
I play midfield.
Midfield.
Yeah.
So would you be like David Clifford now?
No.
Huh?
No. David Clifford's too good.
Well, you're not too bad yourself now. Could you get David Clifford to play for Sligo, do you think?
No. Not for the money, no.
You won't pull the wool over that fella's eyes. That's Conor Hannan from Culfatha National School, who finishes sixth class tomorrow. And soon, I think, will be heading to Corran College this September in Ballymote. Good luck to Conor with his next step up Ballymote. Well, next to a soccer team with a difference, Neurodiverse FC is a football hub set up to provide children with additional needs of all ages a chance to develop their social, emotional and physical skills through the platform of football. It's the brainchild of a Tyrone man, Tommy Walsh, who's also a current member of the under-17 coaching staff at the Sligo Rovers Academy. His background is soccer and coaching. Neurodiverse FC has been running coaching clinics across Tyrone, Enniskillen and in Letterkenny. And from next month, it will come to the MCR Community Centre on the Mailcoach Road in Sligo, beginning on Thursday, July the 3rd, and running for a series of Thursday sessions. There will also be neurodiverse sessions in the Foresters Hall in Killybegs from July the 18th. Well, Tommy Walsh has been talking to Ocean FM Sport about the background to Neurodiverse FC.
Well, I have just moved back to Ireland about 12 months ago. It was January of last year. I had been over in England from I was 18 years of age, and I'd spent my whole career, if you like, working in professional football in England. So I've worked with the Football Association and with various football clubs and academy roles and things like that. And we, 5 years ago, me and my wife had our first baby, Ted, and sort of around maybe two and a half, maybe earlier than that, maybe even 18 months, we just started to notice that he was sort of delayed developmentally. And that where that kind of led us to was sort of on a pathway that, Ted was being looked into for autism, ADHD, things like that. And we were fine, Austin, to be honest, over there for the period of time that we were there. But when my second baby was born, we were just sort of realising that we needed family support, and it was kind of maybe time to move home to Ireland. So when I moved home in the January, I was just taking Ted to different places and, like, you know, little grassroots events and clubs and things like that. I just didn't think there was anywhere where he'd be able to be for a long period of time, just because, you know, when you go to grassroots events and clubs and things like that, they're run by volunteers, and the volunteers are fantastic and they do their best. But I was just looking at it and thinking, where can I take him to try and make friends and things like that? And that he could have his own little club where maybe there are coaches that would maybe understand how to deal with his needs and address his needs and things like that. And I was sitting thinking, like, there's no professional football jobs in Ireland, or not as many. And you know, the funding for that is going to be limited. So I probably have to take a wee detour sort of in my career. And I thought, I'm just going to set up a session in OMA, and I'm just going to see what happens. And lo and behold, it just kind of, I got sort of inundated very, very quickly. And we would have had a lot of people coming to OMA from the Strabane and from Lifford. And they said, look, there's a big, big need in Strabane. I ended up in Strabane and then went on to Letterkenny, and the same thing the other way into Enniskillen. And I've ended up now in Derry, and now the same thing in Sligo. I'm actually working for Sligo Rovers Academy with the under-17s men's team. So I'm up in Sligo anyway. So when people started contacting me, I thought, well, I'm up there anyway. It makes sense to see if we can start something up there and support the kids up there as well. So that's sort of a long story of how we ended up getting to where we've got to. But it's like anything, Austin, you know, with things like this, you tend to find that people end up in these types of roles when they are affected by or you know, for example, you would have maybe people who run charities for maybe cancer or things like that, and maybe they've lost a loved one. The same thing here with me. You know, I probably wouldn't have been involved in this had my son not had autism, but because I've been on the same journey as all the parents, I understand it. And I just looked around and I thought, there has to be a need for it. And, you know, every child should have the opportunity to engage with sport if they want to. It's so, so important. And yeah, as I say, I just put something out there, and we are where we are now, which is great to try and continue to provide so many opportunities to so many children, you know.
And you discovered, as you touched on, that there was a need out there. Mums and dads came to you because they wanted their son or daughter to get involved in something like this.
Yeah, so I think what we do is sort of is really unique in the sense that the sessions that we have are, they're low numbers. So we don't take 15 and 20 children. We would maximum take 12, 10 to 12. And the reason for that is lower numbers, children will maybe engage a little bit more. It's not as intimidating when there are lower numbers. But it's also an environment for parents. So the parents can come and they can, and some sessions, parents are so much more involved than others because maybe the children need them there. Other sessions, the children are capable of being more independent on their own. And then that kind of maybe gets easier as they get older, I suppose, as well. I'm thinking of Oma in particular, the second session between 8 to 12-year-olds, the children come in and they're more than capable now, over 12 months, of being involved in what would suppose you would look at as a normal or a typical coaching session, if you like. But yeah, parents can then sit back and have a conversation with each other. And, you know, it's amazing some of the conversations the parents have because they are all on the same, we're all on the same journey. We're just in different phases of that journey. Some people are starting the process, some people are in the process, some people have come through the process, and it's a real safe space for them as well. But it's a safe space for the children too, because, you know, if they are having a bad day or they're struggling with routine or whatever it is, one of the big things that can, you know, affect the children is when the clocks go back and the daylight is in till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. You know, my little lad's the same. He can't understand that nighttime, it's still bright outside, and even a small change like that can affect them. And they're able to come to our environment and there's absolutely no judgment. They can completely be themselves. We promote them to be themselves. That's the biggest thing for me that I speak about more than anything else, giving them the confidence to be themselves and have the courage to be themselves, because they're so unique and they're brilliant, brilliant characters. And I think the parents really sort of appreciate that as well. And the kids thrive in that environment. And I just think, Austin, it's just spread more and more with word of mouth. And yeah, people will get in touch. But obviously, we're on our social media platforms as well, always trying to make people aware that we are out there and the opportunities that are there. So that's sort of, yeah, that's sort of how that's sort of progressed, if you like.
So Neurodiverse FC has gradually spread its wings, as you mentioned, from the home base of OMA to places like Enniskillen, Strabane. And now, given your own Sligo Rovers Academy connections, you're coming to Sligo this summer.
Yeah, so we're starting. We're just doing a summer block, but the idea would be to run through. So what we do is we try and run our what we would call, we've two strands to our program at the minute. So we've got our primary schools program, and we've got our skill centres program. And the skill centres programs, they're community sessions, and the idea of that is they sort of run in line with school half terms. And we would run it on our own curriculum as well, which I'll touch on later on. And it's basically, the idea behind it is to try and give the children a weekly coaching session that they can come to that is theirs, rather than just, you know, a sporadic, maybe 4 or 5 weeks of something. So there's that consistency and that routine, because, you know, we would have had children that would have come to us and it might have taken them 6, 10, 12 weeks even to just really be comfortable in the routine, and now they come week after week and they thrive. But it just takes that little bit of time, and I just think that is important, because whilst it's football for everybody and everybody's welcome, boys and girls, and also we have had children that would have been classed as neurotypical and would have been in mainstream environments, they've come as well because maybe they've had a sibling or they've had a friend that's been involved and they've come and really enjoyed it as well. But the idea, as I say, is to just give the children that opportunity to be involved with something every week. You know, I think that probably a lot of parents, if they're listening to this, and maybe yourself as well as me, growing up as children, we probably took for granted what it was to be in a team and the brilliant camaraderie that you can make in teams. And I'm sure you make friends for life when you grow up playing sport. And, you know, sometimes a lot of these children don't play in mainstream environments for whatever reason. Sometimes it can be too fast-paced. Maybe it's too intense. Maybe it moves on too quickly. They process information sometimes a little bit slower. Whatever the situation, it's a different situation for everybody. But it's still really important to be able to give them that experience from week to week that this is their club as well. Because I think, I said it, I was talking to somebody the other week, and I said, you know, sport is like Santa. Every child should experience being in a team. and every childhood experience, and it's so, so important. It's so powerful. And that's sort of the idea behind the sort of the 6 week blocks in line with school. But as I say, we're starting the Sligo one, we're running it over the summer. But the idea is to progress that then on in September, so it runs in line with all the other skill centres we've got in operation.
Okay, give us a sense then of your Sligo timetable and for Donegal as well, because you've already been providing sessions in Donegal and that's expanding as well.
Yeah, so we are every Monday we're in Donegal and Letterkenny. So we're there at 3:45 and that's at the Letterkenny Community Centre. And over the summer, we start on Monday the 7th. So this is a six-week summer block for the Inver Community Centre. And then in Sligo, it starts on Thursday the 3rd of July. As I say, that's at the MCR Community Centre. And that session will be at 5 p.m. The sessions are 45 minutes in length. And we tend to find that that's probably just enough, even though we would book the venue out for an hour. The sessions are roughly about 45 minutes because it's just really important that, you know, it's quality over quantity. And it's like all children, they come in and they're flat out from minute one. And once you get around that sort of 35, 40 minute phase, they really start to get tired. And then you just kind of think, well, what is the best option, to just go 45 minutes and have a really, really good quality session or the hour? And 45 minutes has tended to work across all schools and across all the skill centres we've done. So that seems to be at the moment sort of the perfect model. So, and it's just sort of an idea because parents are always maybe thinking, what can we expect here? And, you know, you say in your diverse football club and they think, my God, is it a football session, you know, where maybe it's drill-based and, you know, they've got to stand still and wait their turn and my children they may be not able to stand still or whatever it is. It is football. Football is the forum. It's the medium that drives everything. You know, we try and get the kids to use their feet, take little touches, don't use your hands, control the ball or stop the ball at the bottom of your foot. We work on scoring goals and, you know, accuracy or power and all these different things that you would coach from a football perspective. But the bigger picture in these sessions are they're all sort of fun games and, you know, it's not drills. And the child really, every individual child really, I say the child is the curriculum, the child is the focus. And whilst we might all be together doing a similar thing, each child will have their own task based on their ability and based on what they're able to do. You know, something as small as when they come in, they all get their own ball and they might have a task of, can you score 3 goals in each goal? And if there's 6 goals set up, they get the 18 or 20. Some children will say, I only want to do 10. And that's absolutely fine. So, that, you know, there's that sort of, it's not just, you know, this is what the coach says and you have to do it. It's very, very flexible. And the idea to kind of get it there to parents is like, yeah, I'm not sure what the terminology would be in the Republic of Ireland, but in the north of Ireland, it's called statements. And children who have autism, maybe ADHD, they would have statements in school. And I've read a lot of statements, and obviously I've read my own little boy's statement as well. We would have in England, we would have called them educational healthcare plans. And, you know, a lot of it is around developing concentration and focus, developing and maintaining friendships, understanding or basic understanding of starting to work in a team, even if that's only as a pair. These are the types of things that we really try and get into our sessions. As I say, football is the driver, but actually when I call the children and I have a whiteboard and I will draw the picture of the game on the whiteboard, some of the children may listen to it, some of the children may not, but the whole purpose of that is it's showing the parents and showing the children as well. The children can sit down around a whiteboard for a minute, 90 seconds. You can hold their attention. Sometimes we're very quick, I think, at the moment to go, you know, children can't sit down or whatever it is, and, you know, they've got no attention span. But actually, it's like anything, the more repetition they get in an environment where all their peers are starting to sit down and things like that. I remember my little boy at 3 years of age, getting him to sit on carpet time in school. It just wasn't happening. And over time, with the repetition, when we got told that for the first time as parents, that was unbelievable. It was amazing. And it wasn't ever, he started to speak, or he's starting to speak in the right context. It was, he sat down today and for 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds on the carpet, or he said, good morning. You know, these things are just, they're massive, massive wins. And that's what we try and focus on, you know, as I say, the concentration and focus, the working in teams, you know, with some of the older children, you know, the understanding of winning and losing. can be a big thing, as well as throughout the session. They'll develop their fundamental movement skills. They'll develop as little football players as time goes. But the bigger picture is, how can we help them in their sort of social development and their academic development as well? And in a small way, we kind of hope to show that through our sessions.
So the neurodiverse sessions in Sligo at the MCR Community Centre and at the Inver Community Centre in Donegal, what is your age range here that you're catering for?
We put on it from 4 to 11 or 5 to 12, just depending. That's the age group we're catering for at the moment. We would have found over the last sort of 12 months, that seems to be I would say 95%, maybe even more, have been for children in that age. We have had people in the 12 to 16 category, or parents of children in the 12 to 16 category, but it's been more sporadic and more spread out, and it's very, very difficult to get a centralised venue where all of these maybe older children could travel. And somebody asked me it the other day, actually, why do you think it's sort of blown up for 5 to 11 year olds so much, and the 12 to 16 year old phase maybe not as much? And I don't know whether that is because they are more maybe engaged with sport in their secondary school settings, or maybe it is the case, like, it's primary schools are always looking for support to try and broaden and diversify and give children more opportunities. That's what my experience has been so far. Where secondary schools, they have specific PE teachers in place. And also, I suppose they're developing at that age a little bit more, and maybe have friendships and peers, and maybe they're already involved with clubs, or maybe they have different interests, whatever that may be. So that's why we target the sort of the 5 to 12 year olds. And I think the kids that we have, Austin, in our program at the moment, that are at the older end, the 10 to 11 to 12 year olds, are probably going to move up and up to 14s and 15s. As those children grow with us, and we want to try and make sure we give them that sort of opportunity to do that, and maybe that might be a way of opening up the age range. Then we can go out and say, look, we have a specific maybe 12 to 15 year old section as well. I'm just thinking off the top of my head there with that, but yeah, it's 4 to 12 year olds, 5 to 11 year olds, and we try and bring them together. And as I say, because all the children have their own ball, you know, you can individualise the sessions, but yet have that sort of age range together, if that makes sense.
It does. And if there is a mum or dad listening who would like their daughter or son to get involved, whether it's the Sligo sessions this summer or in Inver or Letterkenny and Donegal, how can they contact you?
You can contact me directly on email, so thomas.walsh@neurodiversefc.com, or our Facebook is neurodiverse.fc, and it's an open page, and they can just send us a message if they want to, or they can just add us and then send us a message. Either way is absolutely fine.
Tommy Walsh on Neurodiverse FC. He's also an academy coach with the Sligo Rovers men's under 17 team. Look for Neurodiverse FC on Facebook for more information. The Sligo sessions will start in the MCR Centre from Thursday, the 3rd of July, for 4 consecutive Thursdays. And I do see there is a session starting next month in Killybegs as well at the Foresters Hall. It may be full up already, but you can email foresterscommunityhall@gmail.com for more information. Finally, Saturday is a big day for Ballinamore Sean O'Heslin's LGFA club in Leitrim. For the first time, they will host the Connaught LGFA Gaelic for Mothers and Others Festival of Football, a day-long programme of blitz football, but there'll be no scoreboards on view. The emphasis will be on fitness and on crack. Adrian Murphy coaches the host club's Gaelic for Mothers and Others football side. He'll also be MC on the day.
We have around 32 teams coming from all of the Connacht counties. They're all represented. So we'll be probably kicking off at 11 o'clock on the Saturday morning. Registration will start at 9:45. So we would hope that all players will be here for that time. They'll get registered. They can relax for a bit. And then coming up to 11 o'clock. We'll have a bit of a warm-up. Michelle Fanning, the local instructor here, is coming to do a bit of a warm-up. So we'd hope to have all 32 teams, which I suppose, roughly speaking, every team will have maybe about 10 players. Maybe some won't have that much, and some will have maybe more, which is great. So you're talking over 300 women, hopefully out on the field to start off, dancing and getting warmed up to a bit of music that we'll put on, and then it'll be straight into the game. So we do normally run a local blitz here during the festival. Our festival runs in about the second week in August, or the Ballinamore Family Festival. So we've done a local blitz for that the last couple of years, where we would probably have maybe 12 to 14 teams, and we would run them off in the same way we were doing it this time. Three pitches on the front pitch and three pitches on the back. And then every 15 minutes, we blow a hooter and the games will finish. They'll all finish at the same time. There'll be a 5-minute break then, and the next set of teams will jump in. Same thing again, to play for 15 minutes or so, and the hooter goes here to the PA system, and it's time to change around again. So that's the way we'll run it. So once that's done, we'll have games and all played by 3 to 4 o'clock. So starting at 11, they'll run through to probably 3 to 4 o'clock. And then after that, then we have the social end of it starts then. So we'll move up to the local pub here, Prior's Pub in Ballinamore. It's only walking distance up on the footpath, safety first. So they'll be walking up to it, and we'll be having a live DJ and karaoke and all types of games there to hopefully keep all the women entertained, and then they can get their buses or whatever back to their clubs. So again, down here on the field, we'll be having live music in between games. Again, we're big on the music here. There'll be food trucks. We have Square Coffee, the local coffee truck here, and we have a pizza truck and a burger truck. So lots of food to be got, as well as our own shop that we have here in the grounds, selling teas and coffees and everything. So again, even for if anyone's coming with their own kids, and again, it's a family affair. We have all our own kids too roped into doing jobs here too. So there'll be flag wavers and ball boys and everything as well too. But for the younger kids, where they're doing face painting and stuff like that as well too. So it's a good day out for all.
Adrian Murphy from Ballinamore, Shauna Heslins on the Connacht LGFA Gaelic for Mothers and Others Football Blitz this Saturday at Park Shauna Heslin from 11 a.m. A reminder, this programme is available as a podcast on oceanfm.ie and in all the usual places. We're back next week, same time, same place.